Mark chapter 5. And of course, you can feel free to use an iPhone or electronic device. And if you need a Bible, if you don't have a Bible or an electronic device with a Bible app on it, you can lift up your hand and our happy ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, then feel free to take that Bible home with you. You can leave it there and make it your very, very own. We're opening those Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark 5 and verse 25. Today is kind of like a Vision Sunday. We want to go over where the church has been, and we also want to go over where the church is going. The Bible instructs us, where there is no vision, people perish. And I've said it a lot, but it's the truth. If your memories are bigger than your dreams, your life is in trouble. And the same is true for ministries. If a ministry's dreams are, or memories are bigger than their dreams, then that ministry, it's in trouble. And I thank God for all that the Lord has done in this church. This church is really over 30 years old. Started in my grandmother's basement with my father teaching about four people. And from there has grown into what it is today. It's just amazing where the Lord has taken us. So we want to celebrate what the Lord has done in the past year and a half. Give you an update as far as what the Lord has done. But then we want to give some direction for the rest of this year. And as we head into the new year, a plan for that new year. And so we've got some numbers here. And feel free to get excited about these because you're the people who are making this happen, especially everyone on our dream team. But in the year of 2012 and so far this year, we have seen attendance go up 24% in the year of 2012. And we have also seen attendance go up 24% this year. And the year is not even over. We still got many more months to go. So that's something to get excited about. People are coming to the church. We've increased 24% in the last year and a half. 24% last year and 24% already this year. It's really interesting. Our tithes and offerings have matched that. In 2012, our tithes and offerings went up 24%. In 2013, already this year, our tithes and offerings have gone up 24%. So we are excited about that, how faithful God has been in that area. And that's without us even passing buckets. So you can't tell me you have to put a lot of pressure on people in order to tithe and give. No, just teach them to love God and the rest will take care of itself. But I know a big question is that people have when they join a church is, where do the tithes and offerings go? Who's making the money? Is the pastor getting rich off me? And all these other questions that people have within a church. The average church just in America, the average church in America, if it's what is considered a smaller church in between 100 to 300 people, they spend on average 61% of all tithes and offerings on salary, meaning for every dollar you give to the average church in between 100 and 300 people, 61 cents of every dollar goes towards the salary of the people who work for the church. Micro churches, churches that are under 100 people, that percentage is a little bit higher because generally when you have a church of 100 people, it can only afford one staff member and that church is working just to provide for the pastor. Larger churches, churches 500 plus, the average is 58%. 58% of all tithes and offerings go towards the salary of the people who work for the church. I'm a big fan of studying after success. So there's two churches that we look to that we consider to be pretty healthy churches. One is in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's run by a pastor by the name of Mac Hammond. Him and his wife Lynn have pastored there for years. Mac was a businessman before he was a pastor. So a lot of the things that he's set up organizationally within his ministry, we've gleaned from because it's just working to a T for them. He has stated from the pulpit that 40%, which is much, much lower, 20% lower than most churches in America, 40% of their tithes and offerings go toward salary. And so that means 40 cents of every dollar you give to that ministry goes towards salary. Another church we look to for organizational things is one found in Birmingham, Alabama. It's entitled Church of the Highlands. It's one of the fastest growing churches in America today. And they will state openly from the pulpit that 35%, which is almost half of the most average churches in America, 35% of tithes and offerings that are given to that church go over into salary to pay for the staff and all that who work for the church. This church this year, every tithe that you've given to this church, only 32% of tithes and offerings that you give to this church go towards salary. I have never talked to a pastor. I'm on the board of several ministries. I've never talked to a pastor of a church with lower personnel costs. The average church in America, 37% of every tithe and offering you give to that church, 37% of that goes just to the pastoral staff alone, meaning that our entire salary for all of our staff, not just me, but every other pastor, children's pastor, youth pastor, grounds, maintenance, secretary, financial department, preschool, nursery directors, all of that included, everybody is less than most churches' average pastoral staff dues. And the reason why I say that is I want you to know that when you sow into this ministry, it is not being used to take funds from people. It is being used for the kingdom of God in a healthy, healthy way. When we built this church, we did an audit upon our ministry finances, and we try to do an audit every other year and have an outside company come in and look at our financials for accountability. And when we turned our finances over to the bank, I got a call from the person who owned the bank owner. He called me up, and he said, "Who does your finances?" And I told him, a lady on the staff named Janet Dennington. And he said, "These are the greatest and best church financials I have ever looked at. And we have loaned out hundreds and hundreds of dollars to hundreds and hundreds of banks. But these are the greatest financial statements that we have ever looked at." When we built this facility, it was a little over $11.5 million for total project. That includes buying the land, developing the land, building this building. To take out a loan, we only had to take out $2.8 million. So the rest we paid cash for. Amen. That was a little under 3 years ago, and as of today, we owe just right over $700,000. Amen. So it shouldn't be, but in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be in the $600,000 mark, at least a year. Within a year, we'll at least be debt-free. I have confidence that we could get done before that, but within a year, we should be a debt-free ministry. So those are exciting numbers and numbers that all of us can definitely give thanks to God for. Somebody says, "Well, are numbers important?" I believe they are. In the book of Acts, it tells us the numbers that were added to the church. When you go to a doctor, they check numbers, do they not? What's your cholesterol number? What's your blood pressure number? What's your temperature numbers? When you go to a football game, don't they have numbers there? Because you need to know whether or not you're winning. And Jesus said the same thing. He said, "How do you know a tree? Not by its intentions, but by its what? Fruit, by the fruit it is producing." When Jesus came to a tree that wasn't producing any fruit, something was wrong with that tree. A healthy church will be a growing church as well. Every healthy tree will produce healthy fruit. To get over in some other numbers that we're excited about this year already, and the year's about halfway over, but we've seen 309 people make a decision for Christ just in the sanctuary. Those are people who have filled out the cards. That doesn't include Kids Life or Youth. That doesn't include the people who are born again over in Poindexter. Speaking of Poindexter, we have a ministry down there. We talk about it a good bit that got kicked up and running last year. Of that ministry right now, we have 333 people who give to that ministry monthly. Those people give on average $21, which takes our average a little bit over $7,000. And so we have $7,000 alone that goes down to our ministry there. Right now, that ministry is run with 0% salary. We pay as a church the salary of Tommy Brown. So every dollar you give to Poindexter doesn't go to cover anybody's salary. It goes directly to the people of Poindexter to enrich and make that community better. This month alone, we bought new books for George Elementary's library. Your tithes and offerings went, and if you gave to Poindexter, part of that money went to go get new library books for them. We gave away backpacks to students. We gave away school supplies. We gave away school uniforms. We fed over 200 families, dropped off groceries at their door. If you give to Poindexter, that's the kind of stuff you are part of. 9 people this past 2 weeks have given their life to the Lord over in Poindexter. It's just been amazing to see what God is doing down there. In the church already this year, we've seen 712 first-time visitors come into the church. Those are people who have filled out cards. All of these numbers are just wonderful. As we approach this new year, I'd like to see our growth rates continue just the way they are. 24% with tithes and offerings would be a healthy growing figure, as well as with the giving. 24% there would be great. And then with attendance, 24%, if we kept increasing along those lines, that would be wonderful. A big way that we're going to keep growing in these numbers is by people making a decision to go over to the Saturday night service. We're very thankful for everyone coming on Sunday mornings, but we got to open up space on Sunday mornings for new people to come in. And so with that, if you can make the shift over to Saturday night, I know it's kind of a different thing to do in the South, but if you can help us out in that arena, that would be great. But we'd like to see those numbers keep improving. This church will never operate above 35% of salary. It will never get above 35%. We've set that as a limit. When you give to this ministry, at least, what would it be, 65% if we're operating on 35? Yeah, somebody help me. I'm not a math genius. Come on, help me. Okay, 65%. 65% will always go to other things other than staff, without fail, every time. My goal is to shrink that percentage as much as we can. I think next year, our percentages will be even lower than they are this year, lower than the 32%, because this year we've added 5 new staff to our staff. So we're thrilled about the direction of the church. I'd like to see our monthly partners from Poindexter go from 330 to 500. With 500, if the average contribution stays around $20, that will give us $10,000 a month to bless that community with. So I want you to pray and consider joining up with a Poindexter. We'd like to see 100 first-time visitors every month. We're already at that mark. We'd like to see that mark keep continuing. And we'd like to see 50 people born again in the sanctuary every single month. That's not just people praying a prayer. That's people filling out a card. We would much rather you fill out a card than just pray a prayer with us, because we can get you to pray a prayer, but we want to do more than just pray with you. We want to disciple you. We want to make sure you're continuing in your spiritual growth. So with that, we're excited about all these numbers. You can get in agreement with us over those numbers. But there's 2 new things that we want to implement in the church. One is kind of a new way of doing church. We've never really done anything like this in the past. And one is something that we've always done, but we haven't really emphasized it in the church. And we're going to emphasize it now more than ever. Let's talk about the first one. Let's read in Mark chapter 5, and we'll start out here in verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, but was nothing better, but instead she grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. And notice this last phrase. And told him all the truth. That's how we know her story. She told it to him. That's how we know the story of the woman with the issue of blood, how she had spent all that she had, but was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She told them her story. That's how we know that she had seen every physician in the community, but was nothing better. She told them her story. For years within the church world as a whole, really the last 10 years, there's been a rise of something, and it's normally been called small groups. And it's always been around in the church, but over the last couple of years, it's gained a certain amount of steam within the church world. And I'll be honest, you know, because I'm a student, I'm in an industry the same way. If you're working in an industry, you ought to be a student of it. I wasn't always just a huge fan of small groups, just because you hear so much growing up about the pros and cons of doing everything. And I'd always heard more cons than pros about doing small groups, especially in a charismatic church. So anyway, I didn't ever really consider doing it. I mean, it just never even really crossed my mind. And I'd hear other pastors talk to me about it and how community is necessary within a church, and that now we're living in a day and age that's having less and less FaceTime, and you need to create more and more FaceTime, all of these kinds of things. And I just didn't ever really pay attention to it. And one day I was just before the Lord reading and praying and getting in my Bible. And as I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and dealt with me to study out this scripture here in Mark chapter 5. Now, the reason why this story is important is you see a lady here do everything in her own strength to change her life, but she sees no progress. Have you ever been there? I mean, you wanted to see this one area of your life change, but you just can't see it change for whatever reason. I like what Joyce Meyer says. I was listening to her this morning. I've heard her use this example a lot. But the children of Israel spent 40 years making an 11-day journey. And have you ever felt that way before? It seemed like, man, you should have been changed in this arena of your life long before now. And here we see a lady do everything she can to change, but fail. And one day her life is completely changed. And the reason why this story is in the Bible is to show us that if we do the same thing she did, we can see our life change as well. Now, as a pastor, I'm very interested in that, because I'm not just here for numbers. I'm not just here for multiple services. I'm not just here to stand up and say how many people come to this church. What I am incredibly interested in, though, is life change. I've been in church my whole life, and I've seen people who genuinely had a life change, and I've seen people who put on a great facade, but definitely did not see life change. I am very, very interested in changing people's lives. And one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite messages that I ever heard any preacher preach was a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. And he preached a message off of this scripture, off of these passages, entitled "How to Write Your Own Ticket with God." And he broke down how the woman with the issue of blood did four things, and when she did these four things, her life changed forever. The first thing he said the woman with the issue of blood did was she heard the truth. When she heard of Jesus, she heard the truth. I like that. Your life will begin to change when you start hearing the Word of God. I talked to a guy just the other week who's only been coming to the church for 3 weeks. And he says, man, I can tell my life is changing just by sitting in these services. I'm coming up to a deeper spiritual level. Well, that's what hearing the Word does. When you hear the Word begins changing you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This was the first step of this woman's life changing. She heard the truth when she had heard of Jesus. But she didn't just stop there. She acted on what she heard. She actually stepped out of her house, pressed her way through the multitude, and went and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And that's the second step. You can't just hear the Word, hear the truth. You got to act on the truth. You got to start taking action to it. You can't just be a hearer of the Word. You got to be a doer of the Word as well. It's good to hear to walk in love, but you know what's even better than that? To actually walk in love. It's good to hear to be happy and joyful, but you know what's better than that? To actually be happy and joyful. So yeah, you got to hear the Word, but then you got to start acting on what you hear. But that's not all she did. Number three, she said the Word. She said the truth. She said, before she was ever well, if I touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made well. You got to hear the Word, yes. You got to act on the Word, yes. But you need the Word of God in your mouth. You need to speak the Word of God over your life, over your home, over your family. And I've always majored on those 3 points. You got to hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You got to act on the Word. We walk by faith and not by sight. You got to speak the Word. Put the Word in your mouth and speak it out. We've always preached on those points, and sometimes I gave Brother Hagin a little bit of credit. But I never understood that fourth point. And Brother Hagin's fourth point was, she told all the truth. And the reason why I never understood it was by the time she told all the truth, she was already well. When she told them all the truth, told them the story about how she did those things, by the time she told them all the truth, told them her story, she was already well. And I never understood that. And it's shown in our church culture that I've never understood that. And I'm reading this story. And the Lord dealt with me, said, on those first 3 points, you've done pretty good. We can always have room for improvement. But we've done pretty good about teaching the Word. We've done pretty good about trying to get you to be a doer of it. We've done pretty good about getting you to try to say it, to speak it in your life. But we haven't created an avenue for you to tell your story. And that's got to change. Because what sealed this woman's miracle was when she told all the truth. And this is what our life groups are set up to do. It's for you to be able to tell your story. For you and me to be able to, on a small scale, you know, a life group, it can be anywhere between like 3 people and 10 people. I mean, we're not talking about big groups. But for you to get in a space that's small enough and comfortable enough for you to talk about the things of God, for you to tell your story. Well, why is this important? Number one, people need to hear your story. I was having lunch with one of our new church members, and he was telling me about years ago he came to the church. And he was a teenager at the time. I wasn't the pastor of the church. And he came and heard my father speak. And he had never been to a church like ours with freedom of worship and just teaching the Word of God, things like that. He'd always gone to church, but this was just a little bit different. And my father was preaching that day of how it's God's will for you to be healed. And he was preaching along that lines, how Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And while he's preaching, this teenager got it. He got it. It's God's will for me to be well. Well, see, this was important for that particular teenager because this teenager was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And if you're familiar with Crohn's disease, there is no cure for it. There's no surgery that can cure it. There's no medication that can cure it. But he hears this. It's God's will for me to be well. And he goes home and he tells his mother, I don't need to take that medicine anymore. And I mean, she's panicking. What do you mean you don't need to take that medicine anymore? He said, Jesus has healed me. I know I'm healed. And so she's panicking. You got to take it. He's like, no, Jesus has healed me. I don't need to take it. Well, weeks go by and he finally has to go have another doctor's appointment, another check-in. So the doctor does all the work and tests and all these kinds of things. And she comes back and she's a little panicked. The doctor's a little panicked because she thinks the people are about to sue her. And the reason why she thinks the people are about to sue her is she has had this boy on medication for years, and now there's no trace of Crohn's disease in his body. And so she thinks she has accidentally misdiagnosed him. And it didn't turn out that he was misdiagnosed. It turns out that Jesus Christ had healed his body. And he's telling me this story, and oh, see, it blesses you. His story blesses you. His story blessed me. People need to hear your story. Well, I'm not a preacher. Neither was the woman with the issue of blood. Well, I didn't go to Bible school. Neither did the woman with the issue of blood. If there was anyone who could have interrupted her that day and taught on healing, it would have been Jesus. Jesus could have said, no, now let me tell you how you got healed. You followed these steps. Now, he stepped back and he allowed her to tell her story. For too long in churches, we have made the main goal of church to get people to come. Come to church. Come to church on Sundays. Come to church in revival settings. Come to church on Wednesday nights. And it's good to come to church, but you know that's not the ultimate goal. You know what the ultimate goal is? To get you to be the church. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And this is what our life groups are going to enable us to do. To give you an avenue to tell your story. Now, what your story may be is nothing big. But maybe your story is your life group is studying the book of Acts. And while you were studying that week in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, you saw something. And it became real to you. Well, that's your story. And when you meet at your life group, it's not just someone up there teaching, it's you talking. And everyone's got a chance to say, you know, when I was studying Acts chapter 3, this is what I got. And then when you give them that story, you know what happens? It begins to grow and multiply. And that's the second point. When you tell your story, you're going to see your story impact the lives of others. And it's going to enrich your soul. Think of it as the 5 loaves and 2 fish from the little boy. He didn't have anything compared to the needs of the multitude. But when he took what he had and put it over in Jesus' hands, it fed 5,000 people and himself. Can you imagine how impressed that little boy and how excited he must have been to see his little lunch feed that many people? Your story, it'll feed the other people in your group. But not only that, I really believe that God designed the church to have face-to-face time. When the church started, it didn't start out like this. When we read Corinthians and we know Paul wrote that letter to the church at Corinth, we think like it was an assembly like this where a pastor or an elder got up and read Paul's letter. But did you know they didn't have buildings like this back then? They didn't have cathedrals at that time. They met from house to house. And they would pass that letter around from house to house. And they would read those letters in small groups and go over how those letters apply to them. The reason why I think that's important is in a small group, people know if you're not there. And there's a system of accountability. Not only that, but like we always say, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You need to have strong Christian relationships. And for too long, people have said, well, I just can't meet anyone. Now you can. and you're meeting over a common interest. So some of our small groups are for married couples, some are for women, others are for men. Some of the small groups are based off of activities like fishing or running or bicycling. Some are based off of moms just getting together at a park. Some are based off of financial peace. If you want to take the Dave Ramsey course, it'll be a small group all working together to get out of debt over Dave Ramsey's course. Others are for married couples, where married couples can come and meet other married couples and go over all types of great stuff. One is a cooking fellowship where you can cook with the Kents at Kent's Cajun Cooking and then talk about marriage after a cooking lesson. And then others will be where there's watching a video called Love and Respect. It's a great, great video. And then you'll sit down and talk about how you can apply it to your life. But either way, I'd love for everyone to sign up. You got a card when you walked in, it tells you how. You can go online and sign up that way. You can, if you don't have internet access, you can go out to our foyer at the Welcome Center and sign up there. But I'd love to see everyone in a small group. Now, right now, space is limited because we want it to start out small. We only have, I believe, 39 groups that are established right now. So space will be small. But I want to encourage you that if you don't get a space, or if you say, you know what, I'd like to lead a small group. Maybe you say, I'd really like to hear more teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Well, start a small group and set up a group that teaches it. And you say, I would really like to know more about the book of Acts. Start a small group about the book of Acts. Or I'd really like to see more people go hunting. I'd like to go hunting with some other guys in the church. Start a small group. You be the kind of director over it. And then we'll help you find people who like to go hunting. Well, we can't start up any new groups right now, but that's okay. While these groups are meeting, we'll also do a training session. And in January, with everyone who goes through the training session, we'll issue forth new groups of small groups and new leaders of these life groups. And so I want to encourage you, either way, sign up. I think it'll be a blessing to you. But here's the second thing we're going to do. I'm really excited about this, and I'll close with it. Not only are we launching small groups in just a couple of weeks, but also starting in September, we're going to do something a little bit different at the end of the service. When I was on vacation, I was sitting underneath an umbrella trying to not get any sun because I am very, very pale. And so with that, sun hurts me. God did not make me for sun. I don't know why. I don't know why. So anyway, I'm trying to move my chair to get it underneath the umbrella every 15 minutes. And so with this, I'm just out there praying and having fun watching my kids. And the Lord speaks to my heart a story in the Old Testament. And now it's just alive to me. And it's the story of Moses and Joshua. They had just struck water, and water's flowing from a rock. And an enemy hears about the water, and so they want to come and take it. And the only way to take it is to kill off the nation of Israel. So they go to war. And during this war, something kind of funny happens. Moses departs from the field, and he goes up on top of the mountain to lift his arms up, to have his arms raised up with the rod of God in his hand. Aaron and Hur go with him to help him lift up his arms. And Joshua is out in the field. He's in the field actually fighting the war. But what's funny is as long as Moses is strong on the hill with the rod of God in his hand and keeps his hands lifted up, Joshua is winning the war. But when Moses gets weak, so does Joshua. When Moses gets weak on the hill, Joshua gets weak in the field. And the Lord dealt with me. I've always known this. This church is called to do far more than just have church. This church is literally called by God to be a source of strength for other ministries, where we literally underwrite the budgets for missionaries all over the world. This is why we want to keep our salary percentage as low as possible, Because if we can keep running this ministry on a low scale of salary, it enables us to send more money to other missions. The stronger we get on the hill, the stronger this church gets here, the more strength we're able to give to people out in the field. Now, for years, we have always given to world missions. At least every year, 10% of every dollar you give to this ministry has been given to another ministry. What was our percentage last year, Earl? I know y'all were talking about that in membership. Was it 30? Yeah, percentage. Do you know? Yeah. Last year, 35%. Now think about this. 32% went to salary. Over that went to other missionaries and other ministries. Think about that. Why? That's what this church is called to do. It's what it's called to do. And so with this, at the end of every service, we're going to put a missionary on the screen that we support, that this church supports. So you know when you give to this ministry, you're not only giving to this ministry, but you're giving to the ministry that's on the screen. Now, when we do that, we're going to pray over your tithes and offerings, but we're also going to pray over that missionary and lift them up before God and ask God to give them supernatural strength. We'll do that every week. And then once a month, we'll go over a big project that this church tackled. And we'll not take up a special offering for that project. Instead, we'll just cut it directly from our budget over to that ministry in need. We call a big project anything over $10,000. For the month of August, our big project was a ministry entitled Sims House. It's a local ministry. Great name, right? I mean, great name. Let's just be honest. It's a great name. So no, but Sims House has no correlation to the Sims family whatsoever. Sims House is a part of Stewpot. And if you're familiar with Stewpot, you know that they were running low on funds over the last couple of months. And one of the ministries that they were going to cut entirely was the Sims House. Sims House is a transitional home for women. It's a 90-day home where they try to get women back on their feet. It can house up to 7 women at a time and with their kids all in the same house. At the time of its closing, when Sims House was going to close, they had 5 women with 3 children who would have no place to go if Sims House was shut down. We found out about the need, prayed, and felt led to donate around $15,000 over to Sims House in order to keep Sims House open and keep it running. Your tithes and offerings paid for all of that. When you gave to this ministry, you didn't only give to this ministry, but you kept a whole nother ministry open. Now, the reason why we do this is to let you know the mission of this church is to help establish the kingdom of God locally and all around the world. But also our goal is for you to give to these ministries as well. Not just to this ministry, but to other ministries. For too long, the body of Christ has just been selfish. It's been about what God can do for each individual believer. And friend, I'm telling you, if God can do something through you, He'll always be able to do something for you. Like the old saying, a water hose never lacks for water as long as water's running through it. And so with this, friends, I want to encourage you, yes, to tithe to the church because we're good stewards of the money. But more than that, I want you to link up with some ministries. I'd love to see you give 1% above your tithe to local missions, and I'd love to see you give 1% above your tithe to foreign missions. Well, I don't know who to give to. That's what we want to remedy. We want you to see ministries that we know and are supporting. We're blessed today in that we have one of those ministries here with us. There's some missionaries here from India, in a state of India called Sikkim. It's right in northern India on the border of China. Beautiful, beautiful nation. And the work that they are doing there, it's second to none. I actually saw the work last year going back this year. They have a church. They have a little Bible school. They have a boys' home, a girls' home. The state of India that they're in has the highest rate of suicide of any place in India. They have the only suicide hotline. You can call this hotline at any time if you're thinking about taking your life, and someone from their ministry will be there to pick up the phone and help you through that crisis of life. So the reason why I say that, and stand up, guys, where they can see you, put a face with you guys. This is Mike and Joe T. Let's give them a warm welcome here at Word of Life. At the end of service, they're going to be out there in the foyer. And the reason why they're going to be out there in the foyer is I want you guys to meet them. And I want you guys to do more than meet them. I'd love for at least 30 of you in this sanctuary this morning to make a decision to become a monthly partner with them. Well, I don't have too much to give. I don't have much to give. That's okay. Give what you can. If every one of us gives according to our own ability, it'd be amazing to see what could happen in the body of Christ. Some could give $5 a month, some could give 10, some could give 20, some could give 100, some could give 1,000. Give according to your ability if the Lord leads you. But I'm telling you, this is fantastic ground. They're doing a wonderful work in the nation of India. Amen. Let's bow our heads, pray before we leave. Father, we come before you today. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for all you blessed us with. And Father, I thank you that these people just see more fruit come from this church than ever before. Not just with people in these seats, but lives being changed. Father, I thank you. You're raising up supporters for these ministries that we sow into. Touch the hearts of anyone now who needs to be a partner with Mike and Jody. I thank you, Lord, you do it in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed,